It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. When Jews attend services this week for Rosh Hashanah, they may hear melodies composed by cantor Yosef Rosenblatt. He's the latest subject in our series, 50 Great Voices. Yosel Rosenblatt, as he was known, was born in Ukraine in 1882. He became a superstar tenor in the U.S. in the early 1900s. NPR's Ina Jaffe has this profile.
You've probably never heard of Yosel Rosenblatt, unless you're a serious fan of cantorial music, in which case he is Elvis, Sinatra, Pavarotti, a singer to be remembered forever.
People felt that he was authentic, that what he sang was real.
Cantor Bernard Beer is the director of the Bell School of Jewish Music at Yeshiva University in New York.
He was an Orthodox Jew. He meant what he was doing. His prayers came from the heart.
Then there's that voice, a range of around three octaves that he could navigate with ease, including a famous falsetto. Rosenblatt was born to the cantor's life in a small Ukrainian town in a house with a dirt floor. The stories of him making beautiful musical sounds while still in the cradle are impossible to verify. But by the time he was 8 years old, he was being paid to sing at synagogues throughout Eastern Europe. He emigrated to New York in 1912, and when Rosenblatt sang, the synagogue was jammed. Every seat, every aisle was filled. Everyone there to hear the little man with a full dark beard.
They treated, actually, these cantors like superstars. They were the superstars of their era.
Joseph Goel was, until recently, the president of the Cantors' Assembly.
We have to think back at that time where, you know, so much of the immigration of Jews that came in the late 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, these were people that found their culture and their art in the synagogue. And so to them, going to hear a cantor was like maybe other people's experience of going to hear an opera or going to hear a concert.
Worshippers were drawn not only by Rosenblatt's voice, but by his compositions. He wrote most of what he sang, says Goel, and he gave listeners something more concrete to hang on to than the traditional free-form cantorial chanting.
For instance, one of the pieces he's very well known is a recording of a Tal, and he starts out with a melody. Tal, 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 ten, lirtzot artecha. So, as opposed to just doing something very cantorial, tal, and the congregation could really join in and could really walk out humming, if you will.
Rosenblatt's extensive recording career made him known to an audience beyond the Jewish community. Likewise, his relentless schedule of concerts that took him around the country and across Europe. But he rejected a generous offer to sing for the Chicago Opera Company. He didn't want to play a fictional character, or wear makeup, or sing on a stage with women.
It probably helped his career,
says Bernard Beer.
Here's a cantor who feels that opera is not compatible with his calling as a cantor. Because of that, his engagements doubled and tripled. They wanted to hear and see this cantor who turned down in 1918, what was $1,000 a night, to sing.
A few years later, Rosenblatt turned down $100,000 to play a part in the first talking picture, The Jazz Singer, for the same reason that led him to say no to the opera. Still, Warner Brothers just had to have him. So they threw in a scene where Rosenblatt plays himself in concert. This rendition of Kaddish Yortzeit Licht sounds convincingly scratchy to be from the first talkie, but now you can hear Rosenblatt sing it with clarity.
Of
That's from a collection of digitally restored Rosenblatt recordings produced by Mendel Werdiger, who runs a Jewish music store in Brooklyn.
I hope that the people that listen to it now will have the same pleasure of listening to his voice like when he was alive.
So far, Werdiger's produced 3 CDs of digitally cleaned up Rosenblatt recordings.
And there are literally tens of thousands of fans throughout the world that he has now that never knew him. They never, you know, they never had anything to do with him, but they still adore his music.
Having legions of fans during his lifetime was not enough to save Rosenblatt from his own folly. He made a disastrous investment in a Jewish newspaper that left him a ruined man. Then the Depression hit. His synagogue let him go. Concert bookings became scarce. Finally, he traveled to Palestine to sing in a documentary about the Holy Land. There, at the age of 51, Rosenblatt died of a heart attack. He's buried in Jerusalem. While Rosenblatt's still revered, his elaborate compositions are not sung in synagogues now as often as they used to be. But something of his style is heard today, no matter what composition a cantor is singing. It's that little sobbing sound. If Rosenblatt didn't invent it, he certainly popularized it. And Joseph Goll says the source of that sound was very deep.
It's a dialogue that Rosenblatt was having with God, you know, and it was a questioning, and it was a struggle in the sense of whatever he was struggling with within his life. And many of the prayers emote that kind of a feeling, you know, a questioning feeling.
Rosenblatt once said that he prayed not as a cantor, but as just another member of the congregation. I pray, he said, and listen to the prayer. Ina Jaffe, NPR News.
Ina mentioned Yosela Rosenblatt's appearance in the movie The Jazz Singer. You can watch that scene at npr.org. This is NPR.